Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
Don't call it a comeback.
Folks, welcome to an all-new episode of So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. This is your Tuesday episode. We are in day five of Bambi-eyed gate. I've got a blinding headache right now. I don't know if this I can blame this on Sandoval as well, but day five. So supposedly Ariana, or she did find this out Wednesday night, and it's Tuesday. So yeah, we're heading into day six of this, and I'm going to give you some new information that maybe you don't know yet, or catch you up with what you do know. And I'm just going to spout off and try to work through this, process some of this, as my therapist says, and we'll get through this together. Plus, we have an amazing guest today. He has a podcast himself. You might know him from TikTok. His podcast name is Zachary Reality, and that's what I call him. And he is a gem. I think he's awesome at what he does. And I met him at BravoCon. And he was popping up all over my TikTok. And I just think, you know, he is just the coolest dude doing his thing, doing it great. And I can't wait for you to meet him if you don't know him already. And the interesting thing was I was going to have him on already just to talk shop and see what he's all about and introduce him to you guys. But then it turned out one of his BFFs is Allie, DJ James Kennedy's girlfriend. And we did this interview last Wednesday, I want to say. No, last Thursday, I believe, because we talked about this past week's Vanderpump Rules. And we talked all about the Sandoval concert that we saw last week where DJ James Kennedy got thrown out of, supposedly. You actually see Zachary in one of the shots, and he gives us kind of a peek behind their relationship. It's really fascinating that you're going to listen to this now. I do want to warn you guys, though, this is pre-Sandoval fucking up his entire life. So we had this conversation before. So if there's a couple pro Sandoval things in this, please listen to that was recorded last week. I'm trying to warn you guys that I recorded a couple of episodes before any of this broke. So me, lovingly living up Tom Sandoval's ass was still probably a thing for me. I've learned my lesson now though. And that's called growth, folks. We're allowed to grow. What do we say always about our reality stars? We're allowed to move back and forth from liking them to disliking them. So it's wild. But anyways, this is a great interview regardless. And I think there's a lot of pearls in it. Kind of behind the scenes stuff. And then we get to talk about other shows that he's involved with working with. All of the Netflix shows, Perfect Match. You know, did you know there's a new season of Love is Blind coming up? We talk about Fox shows. We talk about the Bachelor franchise. So this goes all around the world. And I just think it is a fantastic interview. But how are you guys doing? I didn't even ask you guys. It feels like we've lived 2 weeks in the last couple of days. I hope you are all well. I mean, isn't it? This is all I can think about, though. Right? I know there's other pop culture stories going on, but this is the only thing I want to dissect. By the way, Andrea from Summer House was back on Summer House tonight. Wasn't it great to see him? Did you listen to him on the podcast today? He was so fun. He's just so such a fun-loving guy. You know what's funny, though? I say that, and then I'm kind of like, you know, he's the best. And I'm like, is he? Andrea, if I find out you do something, I'm going to be pissed. I've got to stop expecting anything from anybody. I think that's, and especially if they're reality stars. But so far, Andrea has done nothing wrong. Everything's good. I cannot judge Andrea by Tom Sandoval or Jax or any of those people. So wasn't he great, though? Summer House, though, intense. Remember, over on the Patreon, I'll be doing a full recap of last night's episode of Summer House. It's patreon.com/sobaditsgood. That's at the $5 level. A lot of people, we got a lot of new signups. A lot of people signed up at the dollar level, and I tried to explain that to you guys yesterday. The dollar level, I've been trying to take it off, but I don't know how with Patreon. But it's like that dollar level we even write in the description. This is just to say thanks. Good job, Ryan. And you sometimes get access to an episode here or there, but the $5 level is where you get access to everything. There's other 300 episodes that have never been on the main feed, plus all the Summer House recaps. Plus we did the live Patreon Vanderpump Rules special edition this weekend. And I'll probably be doing another one of those this weekend to talk about all the developments, because what's so great about that is that you guys get to be in the chat and I get to hear what you're saying and what you're thinking and kind of respond off of that, because some of you guys are such great detectives in your own right. Like, people are sending me, my friend Marissa is sending me these never before seen episodes. I want to remind you guys about these never before seen episodes. I've been talking about this the last week, because last week we had a never before seen episode. They air them the hour before the new episode of Vanderpump Rules, and they add a couple of new scenes. Now, most people don't really realize what it is. They're like, oh, I already saw last week's episode. This, they add a couple of different scenes. So it's worth checking out, because they showed Schwartz's potential girlfriend, Joe, in this past week, and he talks about her a little bit more. By the way, do you think Schwartz is thinking his lucky stars? Like, everything was like on the precipice of coming out about him and his potential current girlfriend, Joe. And then Sandoval just exploded all over that storyline. And now we've kind of forgotten about Schwartz, which, by the way, I think I told you Schwartz and Sandy's has been packed over the weekend, and Schwartz was there, and he was thanking people for not canceling him and stuff. And it's like I said, that aw shuck shit is only going to go so far. Like, everybody just do some work, myself included. Let's just do some work on ourselves, and then we don't have to thank people for not canceling us. Which, by the way, they're supposed to go to Winter House this week. I'm going to talk about Andy Cohen, his thoughts on Radio Andy today about the situation. We'll go into that in a second. But it's still hard to wrap my mind around. Now, some of the, I don't like to say tea because I'm a grown man and my mom doesn't like when I do that. But things that I've heard is this is a nightmare. The thing that's really bothering me is that I am hearing, is that Sandoval doesn't seem to understand what he's done and doesn't, you know, like, I think he's going to go, like, by the way, he was photographed on TMZ got the photos of him showing up at Raquel's apartment on Saturday around 10 PM. And I'm just like, this douchebag just doesn't get it. And let's break it down a little bit more, because I want to talk about the psychology, and I want to talk about you're starting to see a couple of things in the press. This is kind of PR, not pro Sandoval and Rachel or whatever we want to call her, but kind of saying, oh, but this is why he potentially did it. And these are usually like a PR strategy, you know, maybe working for Tom or something. But it's saying that, you know, it was, you know, he didn't know how to break up with Ariana because of her mental health issues and because her dog died and her grandmother died, and there was never a good time to do it. And I just think that is the sorriest fucking excuse. And I'm hopefully that was just a test run on that excuse. And hopefully he doesn't actually use it when it comes time for him to tell his story on camera, even though I know they've been filming. He's already filmed a scene with Ariana on Friday, and we'll get to Dodie in a second. But that's just idiotic. And if that really is the excuse, it just shows the level of mental gymnastics that he is not prepared to do to actually, like, it just shows how little thought was involved. And it truly is a narcissistic way of thinking, because it's like, man, so you did this for her mental health and you thought fucking somebody else in your own house that she's friends with, that's on a show with you, that you both have taken under your wings, you thought that was going to be good for mental health? And you thought, since there was a lot of sad things happening in Ariana's life, you wanted to protect her mental health and not tell her that you wanted to break up with her and you wanted to date Raquel? That the mental health thing, is that where you're going to go with? Because, listen, man, I have mental health issues, and I got to say, that doesn't sound good at all. That almost sounds like it could maybe hurt worse in terms of mental health. You know, call me crazy. I'm on antidepressants. I do see a therapist, but yeah, that sounds horrible. And also, we've got to, you know, I hate to be preachy this early in the show, but we got to stop this stigma of mental health. Like, it makes us some sort of invalid, like we can't actually function in the world. Just because you have depression does not mean that you cannot do. Listen, man, I got to tell you, I've hit a new low in this last week and a half with my actual mental health and nothing to do with Tom. It didn't help. Like, I really took the time, taking the Tom stuff weirdly hard for nothing. It has nothing to do with me. And I've been really bummed. Like, I keep thinking about it. I'm looking for that shining example of a male, and it just doesn't seem to exist sometimes. But, I've had really poor mental health in the last week and a half, but guess what? I get up and I do my thing. You know, I make sure this show is out. We can work. We can still be functioning members of society. So that's just bullshit. Like, I've heard horrible things. Like, my mom's sick. I hurt my knee. My good friends, their family's sick. You know, like, shit is going down and we're still able to make things work. You know, people are still able to handle things. So that's just frustrating to hear. And I just think I want people, what scares me, you guys, is I see everybody, gearing up. Like Sheena posted, you know, from Burbank doing the Talking Heads tonight. DJ James Kennedy showed he's pulling up. They've called him to set, you know, which by the way, you know, the sick part of me is like, oh my God. Sandoval having to deal with DJ James Kennedy and Lala. I mean, those are professional verbal assassins. And Sandoval just doesn't have it in him. I said that the other day. I was like, man, Ariana is usually the one that has to help Sandoval say correct sentence structures in any kind of reunion or anything like that. Who's going to help Sandoval now? Because you know it ain't Rachel. You know,
Sandoval, I don't know what to say to everybody. I can't make a fucking speech. How sad is that?
Sorry, you guys. That's my wobbly Rachel voice. I'm gloves are off. But I keep thinking about everybody rushing and that sick reality show part of me is like, oh my God, this is going to be so insane. This is going to be so good. But at the same time, I'm like, we're posting all these social media images and we're all excited. But like at the end of the day, this is like a weird death. These guys have been with each other over 9 years. And yeah, they're on a reality television show, so I guess they don't really count as human beings anymore. But that's the sad thing. It's like I said, I kind of know them outside of all of this, and they had a very real relationship that was very real even when, you know, remember, they only shoot for a couple of months every year, and then they would still be together for the rest of the year. And I keep thinking now about all of, you know what I keep thinking about? I keep thinking about, okay, now they're going to do a whole nother episode. They had already wrapped filming. They're coming back. Even the clapper, you know, the clapper you clap to sync sound and image in TV or film. It said Scandoval on it. So they even have a working title for this episode. And, you know, the excitement and the glee that everybody comes running to destroy Scandoval on the cast. I totally get it. But at the same time, I really think the focus should be on, is Ariana okay? And I don't mean, is her mental health okay? Even though, of course, I want that. But regardless if you'd have mental health issues in your past or you don't, anybody would have mental health issues after they find out that this has been going on right underneath their nose in their own house sometimes. Anybody. This would rock anybody. This would give you psychosis. And so I hope in this rush to make what is probably going to be historic landmark reality television, that on that thought about Ariana with production, with Andy, with Bravo is really the thing that they're trying to think about as well. But I keep thinking about it. We've had so many tough conversations on these shows. I mean, you had the Jax and Faith thing. You had Stassi finding out about Jax and Kristen sleeping together. You had Sandoval finding out about Kristen and Jax sleeping together. You had all of these just, and I really truly think it stunted some of these people's brains. I mean, it really, this is, they're living they're living reality television storylines even when they're not on reality television. And you're just like, dude. And I'm happy to say every time I've been around Ariana, it's been a very real, normal person. No kind of celebrity there. No kind of look at me. Just a funny fucking person. And that's why I think this is really shocking. But in terms of reality, I guess this has to be put on camera and everybody's got to have their go at it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hope people, as they say in The Bachelor, are there for the right reasons. And the other thing I keep thinking, though, is that, like, okay, so Ariana is potentially going to have to do a talking head. So imagine this. Imagine she just finds out last Wednesday night. You know, she might have had suspicions or something like that, but never, nothing, you know. She finds out finally. Now imagine, like, you get a couple of days and you have this one shot on talking, a talking head or on a reality show television. Like, you know, all of a sudden she has to think in this kind of 360 notion of trying to piece all of her feelings, which will be very complicated. And her feelings are going to change and new information is going to come to light. She's going to have to think about the perfect way to talk about this. And sometimes that fucking, like, I mean, with my divorce, I still sometimes don't know how to talk about that. Imagine having to do it a couple of days after you find out all of a sudden, do a talking head, and that's going to live on forever. Imagine that. And imagine when it comes to Sandoval, what he's going to be like, I don't know, dude. I just fucking love Rachel, man. And I've done it for, I loved her for a long time, you know? And I thought it was worth risking Quartz and Sandy for. And I thought it was worth risking Tom Sandoval and the most extras in my band. New single's out now. It's called Superstar. And yeah, I just thought, I loved her so much. You know, I love the way she looks at me and listens to me and listens and looks. That's the big thing. And she always... she's obsessed with me, and that's always cool. Tom, what do you love about her? The way she listens to me and looks at me and talks about me. You know, listen, dude, I thought the midlife crisis was the band. You know, we always do, when we get to that midlife thing, you start doing crazy things. You might start a podcast about reality shows. You might form a band. I honestly didn't think it would be Raquel. I was like, oh, the band's the midlife crisis. And like I said, I'm not going to take it back. I still, like, I liked the band. I had a great time watching them. So that's what I keep thinking about is what we're going to see. Now, this is, around 6 PM tonight. This story got pushed out by a lot of outlets, is that Kristen Doty is in talks to return. She's in talks to return, just to talk about the Sandoval stuff. And there's a couple of thoughts. Now, of course, being a reality show fan, just like you guys are, and just like you're thinking, is like, oh, fuck yeah, I want to see that. Oh, fuck yeah. And then I think about it a little bit more, and I still want it, but just I want to have us think about something as a group. We're all adults here. Is that, okay, now she got kicked off for a certain reason involving Faith, same reason Stassi got kicked off. So wait a sec. Now, is that, or does that leave Bravo open to some kind of litigation because they're, you know, now it's unlawful firing because now you're able to like have her back on? That was my first thought of like, wait a sec. So now Bravo's fine with everything? Or are they going to be like, oh, well, she did her time. She's allowed back on. So that was a thought. And I do want to see her on. The other thing, and I think Doty made this clear, was that she wouldn't come back unless it was, you know, unless she got permission from Ariana, which I think is awesome. That's exactly the thing that you should, because at the end of the day, this is Ariana's story. And I just sometimes don't think you're going to have the clarity of a situation. Like, I wouldn't be thinking clear if I was Ariana. And we don't know, Doty was over there on Friday night with them giving support, like ran over there. But my thought was, that's a lot of, well, like, again, that's a lot of pressure on Ariana, right? Like, she knows, I mean, thank God Ariana deactivated her social media for now. And I cannot wait for her to come back. But I do have it on good authority that people are reading her posts and showing her some memes. So I do have that. I have that on good authority. So that's good. So all that positivity is getting to her. I can tell you that. But I just thought, man, that's a lot of pressure to be, you know, like, because what if she was like, oh, man, this is going to be rough already, and then throw Doty. Like, I don't know this is what she's thinking at all. But I was thinking of like, oh, she, I hope that's not pressure of like, oh, the fans are going to want it, but I don't know if I'm capable of having this be a part of my, and, you know, of their story. Does that make sense? I think she'll end up agreeing to it. And I just hope that that really is her feelings. Like, listen, man, Ariana might be at the point of like, literally, fuck you, Tom. If this is who you are, then you deserve to get destroyed. And the only thing I keep thinking is that, like, you think DJ James Kennedy and Lala are verbal assassins? When Ariana, when push comes to shove, she knows exactly what to say. And if you think about it, we've seen it time and time again. And so I hope, even though I've heard sometimes otherwise, that Tom potentially thinks he's being noble right now, and this is for love or for passion or, you know, having an awakening. It's like, dude, this is not an awakening. This is you being completely disconnected with people around you that have loved you and supported you for, you know, so long now. Is you are having a form of a mental breakdown, narcissism psychosis, if you will. And I just keep thinking about Rachel, Raquel. it's like you can't keep, you know, a lot of people were like, not to me, but to everybody, of like, well, let's not pick on the poor girl. When do we get to throw poor girl out? I'm all for women's rights. I'm all knowing that there is a power differential between Sandoval and her. But how many times are we going to see, like, I don't think she's diabolical, but I keep telling you, I don't know what's there. I don't get a vibe. It seems like you could potentially put any thought in her brain that you wanted to, but it's got to be one or the other. Either you're dumb and mean, or you're diabolical and mean, because you're not a good friend. You're not. You're just not. Like, I mean, I'm sorry, there's no argument there. Just not a good friend. I'm hoping that she's just dumb. Because the diabolical thing is just, I still find it hard to believe. But it's weird, though. You know, just think about our own mental health, and we don't have to jump through any of these hoops. And I just keep thinking, man, this has all been less than a week, and we already have cameras up. It shows you kind of the hilarity of pop culture. And behind the scenes is that everything is kind of meant to be projected out to us for entertainment to sell soap. All they want to do is sell more subscriptions to Peacock, put out more commercials, and we're here for it, man. We're down for it. But I'm proud of this show because it does not seem to back away from the insanity of these people's lives. And this has been one of the most gripping seasons already. And just Zachary's on in a sec, and he would talk all about this. We talk all about the episode as is before any of this stuff was known. So, of course I want Dodie back. Of course. Now, Jax, let me read you what Andy Cohen on his radio show on Sirius XM. I don't get to listen to it a lot, but I have really, like, I love Andy Cohen. I'm not going to lie. I'm just one of those, like, I think that dude is the cat's pajamas. This is what he said. This is from Brands by Bravo. Brands by Bravo. She's been on so much. She's great. Andy said that his phone was blowing up all weekend. He said no housewives texted, but everyone on the 42 and under shows were texting. So Summer House, all of those shows. Now Jax texted him the most. What's up, Andy? It's me. Do you miss me? I miss you. You want a pic of my dick? What's going on, bro? Anywho, I'm busy being a father. Can we talk shit about Sandoval for a sec? Hey, have me back on the show. JK, but for real, could you? So Jack texted him the most. The reunion, guys, films in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. I was told it films in April, so 2 weeks is shocking. And that means they're going to go from Winter House right to filming that reunion. During the commercial break from Sheena and Raquel's Watch What Happens Live last week, Sheena told Raquel that she was surprised. She said Sandy was the hotter one because they did this game talking about who's the hottest. And Raquel said,
well, he has abs, abs.
So I guess Sandoval does have abs. You got him. Sandy, you got Schwartz, man. You got abs. Andy DM'd Sheena this weekend. Oh my God. I can only imagine how much Sheena loved that. Andy DM'd Sheena this weekend for more context to their commercial break conversation. Oh, to be a Twitter DM. He felt the energy was very weird when Schwartz and Sandoval were on Watch What Happens Live because Schwartz kept looking to Sandoval for answers. That to me isn't that weird because that happens a lot, I think, with them. He thinks that this was going on at BravoCon, and he is shocked Jax and Brittany are the last ones standing with their Valley homes. Listen, I think that Valley home is the house that Weight Watchers built, in my humble opinion. I think Brittany has been keeping that family afloat for the last year plus. Congrats to you, Brittany. But isn't it crazy, though, how the ups and downs of life, right? You count somebody out and then something insane happens that you could have never put your finger on and it just blows up. And all of a sudden people are like, Jackson, Brittany, not so bad. I kind of like the Kentucky wedding. I wish it had more episodes. It's wild. Isn't life wild? You know, that happens in our own lives, too, is that you just never know what to expect. I guess the thing is to try to be good people, keep your head down, suffer the slings and arrows of life, but try to just keep going. But listen, you never know, man. At this point, I mean, like, if they all come back and they come back as some kind of Marvel Avengers just to kick Sandoval while he's down. But the thing that pisses me off, and I know it's a reality show and we all want him back, but, like, these people don't have Ariana's best interests at heart. they would be showing up for their own fucking narcissism and because they really hate Sandoval. Like, you know what I'm saying? Which is valid. And I'd like to see that as well. But people better not be like, Ariana's our favorite. Like, Jack said so much mean, horrible shit about Ariana's sexuality and her mental health that I really don't want him 2 fucking feet away from any of this situation, to be perfectly frank with you. But I do miss, I'm not an idiot. I do miss Jax on this show sometimes. I do. But it is interesting. It really is to think about the possibilities. To think about the possibilities. This is a show in its 10th season. This is a show that we have written off for the last 2 seasons. Like, truly, I've read everything. We have written this show out off, and now it is hotter than ever. If you watch Bravo the last 2 nights, they have had more Vanderpump Rules previews. They're like, the hottest season ever. Vanderpump Rules season 10 was bring it. Like, and do you remember those original promo videos of like, we're bringing sexy back. Yeah. And like Sandoval's doing a Michael Jackson. Like, it's so dark now to like think about what we thought going into this season. And honestly, I thought Schwartz and Katie was going to be the big thing. And remember to keep that energy for Schwartz, keep the heat on Schwartz. And remember, you know, support Katie through all of this as well. Because she is still going through some shit as well. So that was like the Radio Andy stuff from Andy Cohen, which I thought was very interesting. Now on Wednesday, Lisa Vanderpump will be on Watch What Happens Live, the only guest. In fact, they canceled Katie Maloney and some other guests so they could have Lisa Vanderpump, which I kind of wish they had kept Katie and have Katie and Lisa, you know, both of their, because Lisa sometimes I feel like doesn't know everything, where Katie's like in the mix, where Lisa's like, ah, I talked to Peter. Peter told me that Schwartz, you know what I'm saying? Like, the busser at Sir told me that Sandoval likes Raquel. Raquel has left her comments on Instagram, which is frightening in so many ways. You should lock those because I'm sure people are stomping on you like a narc at a biker rally at this point. But okay, so what else do we got? I wanted to play for you a couple more things. Oh, also, folks, breaking news. I just got sent this. Tom Schwartz just hit 1 million Instagram followers. Folks, nobody truly gets canceled. So don't worry. These people only fail upwards, you know, and especially these guys. They're going on Winter House this week. They're going to have like, you know, but just think, they leave a path of wreckage, but just because they're charming and good looking and all of that stuff, nothing's truly going to happen to any of these people potentially. Oh, you know what else I was thinking? I kept thinking, Andy said that thing about BravoCon. He thinks this was going on at BravoCon. I think I mentioned this a couple times, and especially during my BravoCon episodes, was that last night when I got my equipment stolen at the Sandoval concert. And this is what kills me. Like, Sandoval has been so great to me and the show, and Ariana as well, but like they had me over at Schwartz's 40th birthday party, and I got, you know, I was like drinking my sorrows away of losing all that shit with Kyle from Summer House, Sandoval, Ariana, Sheena, Raquel, Brock, all of this stuff. And we had a long conversation. We were outside of the hotel at like 4 or 5 in the morning. And it was like, and I have like, my friend sent me video of it. I'm not going to post that video, but we were all standing in front of the hotel. It was like Logan, who's been with Ariana this week. And we were all standing joking. And I say, hey, cause I don't remember, I'm kind of foggy on that. Like, I remember laughing about a couple of things and, you know, Sandoval was very concerned I lost my stuff, which was really nice of him. And I was trying to remember and I couldn't remember. I knew Raquel was at the party, but I didn't know if Raquel was standing in that little group of us out in the front of the Gansvoort Hotel. And I still, and she, you know, she said she wasn't, thank God, but Ariana and Tom were, and they were right there. So to me, it's hard to imagine this was going on at BravoCon. I want to know more details. I want to know what this relationship was, but it's like, from what I've heard, he doesn't seem to get what's going on right now. And he is, he's full steam ahead, on this potentially. And we saw that even with him showing up at Raquel's apartment. So I'm really disappointed to hear that. Okay. So congrats Schwartz on your 1 million followers. I think that's just terrific. Oh my God. Sorry. I'm seeing some of these other pop culture stories that I'm just not going to cover right now. I'm so sorry, you guys. And if you're bored of that, I totally understand it. We're going to have great guests that have nothing to do with Vanderpump Rules later in the week. I'm just trying. Oh, this was another thing today. There is an adult live stream called Cam Soda. I don't know if you guys know this, but it's called Cam Soda. And I'm guessing, I don't know if it's just straight up pornography or what it does, but it says Vanderpump Rules star Tom Sandoval's cheating scandal is worth six figures to a site pushing adult content. He's got a live streaming offer on the table and a possible way to avoid some potential nastiness on his band's upcoming tour. Cam Soda is making an offer they hope Tom and his band can't refuse. $540,000 to stream 12 concerts live on their site instead of taking a show on the road and playing in front of an audience. Cam Soda thinks Tom's going to catch tons of flack if his band plays before a live crowd, so they're offering him a way out. The note says, "Dear Tom Sandoval, oh Tom, what have you done? Reading about your alleged cheating scandal with Raquel Levis this weekend was something. I am reaching out to offer you and your band a place to live stream your upcoming tour. I understand playing in front of a live audience may not be safe. I would imagine the Justice for Ariana chants would grow quite loud. That's why, God, if you pay money to shout out Justice for Ariana, man, why don't we just donate to, like, the fucking sandwich shop instead? Don't put money in these guys. I mean, anyways, that's why live streaming your tour from a safe place would make the most sense. Cam Soda is an adult live streaming website that can deliver your sets to a global audience. You won't have to worry about being pelted by tomatoes. You can dress in your outfits, show some skin, and even tell your side of the story if you'd like. In return for live streaming your entire tour with a twist, I count 12 dates total on your website. We'd be willing to compensate you up to $45,000 per show. That's $540,000 in total. Please consider my offer and get back to me at your earliest convenience." Now, the band's manager and drummer, Jason Bader, who has been so good to me, I don't think Jason listens, but Jason has been so good to me, and I really believe in those musicians. But Jason, the band's manager, says, "The group hasn't yet seen the offer, but they would never accept it." So that would have been a great way to pay the band, because I really am worried about them getting out there. I just think that is a dumb move, and I think it's a narcissistic move to keep this going, because I think he's going to do it thinking he's some kind of hero keeping it going, and I just think it's self-gratifying at the end of the day. That has nothing to do with Jason, though, and I know Jason's really good friends with Tom. I would be actually more interested in talking to Jason right now at this point. Oh, also, you know, I was telling you about those never before seen, episodes. This was from episode one when Sheena and Raquel went to do that sweat sauna. This was the conversation they cut out and they made it into the never before seen episode. I'm just going to play this for you. It might be bad audio, but just listen up here.
I'm not even sweating.
My face doesn't really sweat.
What?
A cold towel for you. How are you feeling?
Yeah.
Very warm.
You're doing great.
Yeah.
Just mess up anything you need me, but okay. Enjoy.
Thanks. You're still talking to that asshole guy, right? Just because he's really good in bed?
Yeah. Like, he eats me out, like, incredibly. That's all we do. The first guy that I had sex with, he had me up on the kitchen counter.
Wait, what?
Don't worry, I sanitized it.
I just remember the first time after, you know, being married for 7 years, the first time I had sex with someone else.
There was a fear?
There was a revolving door.
I mean, I'm the revolver right now. Call me Madam Revolver.
So that's Raquel saying, "Call me Madam Revolver," after she was talking about having somebody go down on her, all they do. And you got to wonder, is that person Tom Sandoval? Is it this deep and dark? So I wanted to play that for you guys, because I thought that was just so, so damn dark.
Yeah, all happens is he wants to go down on me nonstop.
Okay, folks, let's get to our guest. I do want to just finally wrap it up with saying, life goes on. I get it. I'm going to stay angry about this for a while, but life goes on. And listen, people make dumb decisions every day. I've made a couple myself. And this is just horrific. I just feel bad for a friend And I feel bad for somebody that I really like watching on reality television. And I think a lot of us feel the same way. But life does go on. But I'm going to keep you updated with everything, because this is truly what I keep thinking about when I wake up and when I go to bed. And I'm just horrified to find out more information. But I know we are all on the seat of our pants. Now, let me introduce you, if you don't know, to one of my favorite new people, Zachary Reality. That's his podcast, Zachary Reality. You know him from TikTok. You probably love him already. But if you don't, you're going to hear everything about him. And it starts off with Vanderpump Rules. We did this interview last Thursday, and we talk all about last week's episode. So this is kind of great just to rejigger our brains to remember what we saw last week pre-Sandoval blowing up his life, just to kind of remind us where we are in the season. And he has got such great intel because he was there that night. That was last week on the episode, because he's BFF with Allie. But this dude is so much more than that. I think he truly is going to have an insanely good career. He already does. But his new podcast, Zachary Reality, is on all podcasting platforms. Here he is, the one, the only, Zachary Reality. Welcome back to So Bad It's Good. Today we have somebody that, I mean, does what I do, but does it better. I mean, like, I feel like this person is listen, not only has a new podcast called Zachary Reality, but also I feel like this dude is like one step away from being a like Access Hollywood like on camera correspondent, because he's already on camera all the time. You might know him from his TikTok account, which is insanely popular. You might know him from his Instagram account, but you also know him from just his love of reality television, the same thing that we love. Also, what you might not know is you've now seen him on this season of Vanderpump Rules, and we will get into all of that. Also, I love this dude's fashion. Like, every time I see him on a red carpet, he is in like this very unique number that I could never pull off, but I'm like, damn, that actually really works. So anyways, from the new podcast, Zachary Reality, it's Zachary Reality. What's up, dude?
Hey, Ryan, I'm so excited to be here. About the carpet, everything is either thrifted or gifted. I ain't spending money on clothes, trust me.
Those hats look amazing. You got the big old like hat. I always love it. And like, anyways, kudos to that. That you're a style inspiration, even though I could never pull off anything that you wear. But let's just start off someplace, because you have a new podcast and I want to get to all of that. And you cover Netflix shows, which I love Netflix shows, but we don't get to talk about a lot here. So I'm excited, because you just had Bartice on your podcast. And I think he is one of the, oh man, he's like a Jax Taylor mixed with, I mean, just the,
he's good. I mean,
he's good. He's good reality TV, right?
He's good. I've also had Shake on my podcast and Shane. So I love the villains.
the triumvirate of Netflix douchey characters.
Yep. And I've been out with them all in the club. I love the villains. I never take anything seriously when I watch reality TV. And it's a different world. I mean, you're definitely in the Bravo world. I focused most of my channels on Bachelor Nation and on Netflix. Those are kind of my two favorites. And they go hand in hand. I think a lot of people who talk about reality TV kind of pick their lane. And for me, I'm really into those, you know, two franchises, and they're very popular. So there's a lot.
They are very popular. In fact, I think it's interesting, because if you compare it to like Bravo and things like that, you know, Bravo has like this, you know, insanely passionate fandom, which I'm a part of, but like, they don't realize like Netflix like trounces them in terms of just overall downloads and awareness. Like, you forget the power that Netflix has, because they'll do kind of these binge and then forget season sometimes. But these things now with Netflix, especially their new reality show, what's it called? The Perfect Match?
Perfect Match. It just ended this week.
Yeah. I mean, The Perfect Match then takes some of these characters that we met in Netflix other seasons, like Love is Blind and things, and they're already starting the universe building, which 90 Day Fiancé and now Bravo has started. Mm-hmm. Do you love that they're doing that?
Oh, I think it's so great. The crossover is great. And I think Netflix is doing a really good job just making so many shows and so many different personalities. And I love that we can binge them. So it's been really fun, because it's gotten popular the past couple of years. So it's kind of a breath of fresh air. But I still love Bravo. I started watching Bravo in college. Jersey Housewives was my favorite. So it's kind of fun, because since I don't focus too much on Bravo shows, I get to actually watch them and enjoy them and not worrying about covering them. And then on Netflix and Bachelor, yes, I'm like all in.
See, that's the kind of same way, but I'm with Netflix is that like, I can enjoy this. I don't have to take notes. I can just be, I can be petty. I can like yell things at the screen. And it's kind of nice to have those things. So that used to be what I was like when I would watch Bravo all the time before any of this stuff. And now I have to like, look at it with like a certain eye. And I'm kind of like, it's interesting what they're doing behind the scenes. How would you compare Bravo and Netflix and maybe even The Bachelor thrown in there? What do you think the differences are? What are the stamps that make those shows different than what Bravo has going on?
I think all the shows are different. I think there's just different elements and different aspects in each show. I think Bachelor is so focused on their format and the love, and Bachelor Nation is so strong. I'm not sure how many of your listeners are like really into Bachelor Nation because it's different. Not every, some people pick and choose. Like we watch.
No, they
all
do. And people will be like, I can't, I'm sorry, I'm not doing Bravo anymore because I'm strict Bachelor Nation. Like it's like, I feel like Bachelor Nation will eventually secede from the union and they'll go have an island and everybody Bachelor Nation will live there because it's that intense.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Each franchise is just so different, each network, each streaming, and there's little worlds. So it's fun to dip my toes in each of them. And I'm excited to chat with you today because I met you at BravoCon. And you were flustered. I think you lost your phone and your wallet. What did you lose?
I lost all my podcasting equipment. I lost my wallet. Yes, and we went over to Watch What Happens Live, and we snuck in on that last night. We were eventually let in, but it was a very exciting night and kind of made up for how much I had lost. It was just a blast, and you are a blast. And then we got to hang out when we watched Vanderpump Rules, or we tried to watch Vanderpump Rules at a restaurant a couple weeks ago.
Justice now, for Kiki.
Kiki and Monique, you guys. I talked about this on the show. It was wild. I haven't told the audience this yet, but like one of your best friends is Allie. Mm-hmm. And Allie, you guys, if you don't remember the name yet, Allie Luber, I believe is her name. And it's DJ James Kennedy's girlfriend. And just so you know, Zachary, I always call him DJ James Kennedy. I don't call him James Kennedy. You got to say DJ James Kennedy. So you were there on last night's episode. He played at the Canyon Club in Agora Hills. Mm-hmm. And it's a very special place for him and Allie, he said. And you were there. We actually see you in the scene where he's at the bar upset that Raquel pulled Allie for, which by the way, is very Bachelor. Can I pull you for a conversation?
Literally.
So you were there, but also I want you to like, you were also there at the first Canyon Club Agora Hills concert where him and Allie first met. Could you take us in, like, how do you know Allie? Why were you there the first? Like, take us into all of this.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's so interesting to see the show now because I've been with Allie from the beginning. You know, we met James that night together.
Is she a big Vanderpump Rules fan?
She's not a big fan. That was a misconception that people were saying about her. She's definitely seen the show. She was aware of it, but I was the one that brought her to the show originally to meet James. So there was kind of the miss up. Some people thought that she was like a fan of the show and that's why we were there.
Yeah, that's the thing you keep hearing now. She just wants to be on the show. She just wants to be on the show.
No, absolutely not. What happened is that Tom Sandoval's manager invited me to the show as a content creator, asking me to make content to promote the band. So we got backstage passes and they asked me, you know, to bring a couple people. So I brought Allie as one of my friends and I also brought my friend Victoria. So that's how we were able to go to the Canyon Club. I mean, I already liked Vanderpump Rules. I've seen the show, obviously, but I was the one that was like, Allie, you have to come with me. She didn't even want to go that night. And we ended up going backstage and meeting James. And I guess, you know, James was familiar with who I was from TikTok as well. So I was kind of able to facilitate a little bit. But, you know, they linked up so quickly.
Well, that's what he says. He says he fell in love immediately. And I mean, were you so you were there in the first meeting? Was he immediately like, yo, bone structure? Oh, my God. Because that's what he always does in every episode now is he's just like, yo, hair. Oh, my God. It's amazing. So you were like immediately he was smitten with Allie. You could tell.
100%. I think within like 10 minutes, he asked for my Instagram and then he asked for Allie's. And the rest is history. Like they actually started dating from that day. Like basically it was like so instant. Everything happened so fast. And I used to hang out with them a lot in the beginning because Allie was nervous.
Scared. Yeah.
He didn't want to hang out with James alone. Like there was times when I was like, really? Like I had fun. James is a great time. So we would hang out, the three of us, a lot in the beginning before they even started becoming exclusive. And I think they were like, I don't even think he ever asked her to be his girlfriend, but they started dating just like right from that day, basically.
I always think about that too, just an off topic thing, but like, in when you get past your 20s, do you still ask people to be your girlfriend, boyfriend, or is it just assumed? Like, you know, it's like asking somebody to be your girlfriend or boyfriend is a very like high school thing to me of like, would you go out? Would you be my girlfriend? And I'm like, do people still officially ask to be girlfriends and boyfriends? Like, is that still a thing? I
don't ask me. I've never been in a relationship, which is
wait,
so
what?
Sad.
How are you? Wait, you've never been in a relationship and you cover relationship shows.
I mean,
isn't
I
that weird?
Shows, yeah,
yeah. But I'm saying, like, that's really interesting. I wonder how your perspective will change when you do get into your relation, your first relationship. I wonder if that will change your perspective on covering any of these shows.
I'll come back to your podcast.
Wait,
and
sorry,
I'll let you
sorry.
Know.
I'm just like, I'm like, this is what I'm like. This is fascinating.
Yeah.
Also, just so you know, his podcast, Zachary Reality, he had DJ James Kennedy and Ali on just a couple of episodes ago. It's like a 37-minute interview. It's really worth checking out. Being a fan of Vanderpump Rules, though, listen, we know DJ James Kennedy as a certain type of person. Was there any trepidation on your part with Ali of like, Ali, why, hey, man, like, chill out. Like, this guy can be really wild on the show. Was there any kind of worry for your friend at all?
Yeah, I don't know, because since I work, you know, in entertainment and I, you know, interview a lot of reality stars, I don't judge people on TV. I judge them based on who I when I meet them in real life. So as soon as I met James, it didn't matter what I've seen of him on TV. It was just like, he was so cool and fun. And I think that the first few weeks of hanging out with James, like, he was just so nice and cool. Like, it wasn't until after like a month or two where we saw James's other side that isn't the best. So it really wasn't until like the first month or two where we were like, oh, James has a little bit of a temper sometimes, you know, which we've seen on the show. So then there was definitely conversations about it between me and Ali, especially in the beginning. I think that after 4 or 5 months, we really put all of that behind us because they really did fall in love and they became solid. And James, you know, proved to be such a good friend over time to all of Ali's friends. Like, he's very generous. He's a gentleman. So at the end of the day, it's her relationship and, you know, it's not mine. And they're really happy together. So I'm happy for them. And I like hanging out with them and I ship them.
And I do want to point out too, is that a lot of people think Ali wanted to be on the show. And from my sources, I heard Ali did not want to be on the show. In fact, refused to film at first, and really kind of held her ground for it doesn't seem like that because she's in the first episode or maybe the second episode. But from my sources, I heard she refused to film and didn't want it to be anything on the TV show. And then finally had to be convinced to come on. Do you believe that to be true?
Yeah. And I'm actually glad that I can like speak on her behalf because she's not going to do much podcasts or interviews. That's just not her forte.
I think it's smart unless she really needs to clear something up. But, you know, it's a dirty business.
Yeah. She's definitely happy for me to speak for her in some aspects because she's just not really like that personality. But no, she did not want to film because it's so messy. And I think you see it on TV and you enjoy it and it's entertainment. But it is a really messy show. There's a lot of drama and it's not as fun as you would think it is, especially for someone like Ali, who's coming into this established group where there's veterans on the show who have been there and they know the game.
Ten seasons, some of these people.
I think she was a little intimidated because it was so much drama. And I also think that her relationship with James is so different that she didn't want the show and James didn't want the show to kind of like affect or change that. So she had to be convinced to film. She didn't film the first couple of weeks. I think that the show, even if the episode is number one, it doesn't mean that's the first time.
Yeah, they cut and piece a lot of things together. But I wanted to even make that point because I do see that out there on Twitter and stuff like that. And I'm just like, no, that actually isn't the case. And a lot of people are so quick to be like, oh, this person's thirsty. This person wants on the show. And even with Raquel, they said the same things about it. And like, Raquel, her goal wasn't to be on the show. Like, whether now, like, that's her, you know, obviously now she wants to be on the show. And I think it's really changed her life in a lot of ways, for the better and for the worse, in a lot of ways, watching Raquel's journey. But it wasn't her goal in being with DJ James Kennedy. And a lot of people find that hard to believe. You were also, like I said, on last night's episode, which was the second time in Agora Hills at the Canyon Club. What was that night like for you? Because also we saw it ending where allegedly according to the show, James got taken out of there by a security guard because he started freaking out potentially about the Raquel Ali conversation. Is that true? What did you see? You were there with them?
Oh, my God. I know. Because that one shot of me was filmed
you can't miss. You can't miss. Like, I was like, that's you. Yeah.
I was like, hi, I'm here. That was filmed on an iPhone. Because the cameras were down at
that quality point. Is amazing. You guys, why don't we just, by the way, that's what I'm saying. Like with any of these shows, you guys, if you're around these shows, get your iPhones out. I want cameras to be, if they're not going to wear GoPros all the time, I want people to be filming so they can use it on the show.
There was a camera, there was an iPhone camera and a ring light. And I remember specifically because I was around filming a little bit in the beginning and they never filmed me because I wasn't on the show, but that was like the one time where they filmed me, which is why I looked at the camera because I was like, wait, what? I was like, what's going on? That's why I smiled because I was like so confused. And I was like, whenever I'm on camera, I look right at the camera and say, hey, welcome back to Zachary Reality. So, and it's funny because James texted me after I was like, oh, I don't like this clip. He's like, I know it's hard to not look at the camera sometimes, you know? But that night was really crazy because James was pissed off that Raquel talked to Ali because, you know, it basically like if James, his perspective was like, why is my ex-girlfriend talking to my new girlfriend and like telling her to be careful of me? And like, you kind of have to like understand where he's coming from. And I think there's a big debate online about that too. Like, is Raquel meddling? Is Raquel getting involved? Because it's not like James was telling, I mean, he kind of did slide Peter, but his perspective was like, it's not like I'm telling Peter to not hook up with Raquel. Like, I guess
he's just saying he has a fat old belly and he F's all the biatches at, you know, that's what he said. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a vulgar mouth sometimes. But yeah, he definitely got, I think he did get escorted out. I didn't see it. Ali did tell me that it had nothing to do with her. She texted me because I told her I was coming on this podcast and she wants everyone to know that it had nothing to do with her and them fighting and that, you know.
Wait. So he got taken out and it had nothing to do with Raquel and Ali? He got taken out on a whole nother issue entirely? Did somebody say his DJing sucked? What was like? Well, what could have possibly upset him taken out?
Well, I guess that's going to be a mystery because I don't know, right?
DJ James Kennedy, come on the pod. We got to clear this up, man. So you're saying it wasn't because of that issue, but he was upset in that moment that we saw where he was upset in that moment. Did you, just from watching it back, you've seen it now. What do you think of it? Do you think Raquel is meddling? What is your take on it as a, not as a friend, but just as a reality show viewer?
Well, it's hard because I know everything behind the scenes. And can I also say that I like Raquel a lot.
I do too. Yeah.
And Ali likes her too. I think it's obviously like they can't really be too close of friends because of the situation. But I think that I don't think Raquel's meddling. I mean, honestly,
I don't either.
Okay,
like,
honestly,
I really don't think she is.
I think her and Ali actually clicked in a weird way, even though they can't be friends. And I think that in a way she wanted to just like look out for Ali. But I also think that she's doing her job. And I also think that maybe the producers are like, Raquel, go talk to Ali.
And then
she's like, all right, yes. I'm getting paid to be here.
I mean, that is the thing that I think we all realize 10 seasons in and watching these shows is that, listen, obviously there's cameras following them around. This is real life in terms of their conversations, but they are sometimes suggested to have a conversation of like, hey, Raquel, would you be willing to pull Ali for a conversation? It happens on The Bachelor all the time. Can I pull you for a talk? Can I pull, like, this happens. Otherwise, our natural inclination as people is to run away from drama, is to not engage, is to keep those secrets in your head. And in reality, like Tom Sandoval said this, they make you run towards it instead of away from it.
I don't even know if Raquel and Ali would have ever had a conversation if there wasn't a show.
Why would you? Normally exes do not talk to the new, they bitch about them from afar and vice versa. And so it is kind of that weird thing. And I understand on DJ James Kennedy's part of this is what you signed up for, but it's still probably a tenuous thing when you really do love somebody or want to be with them and you're like, oh, is this going to screw it up? Oh my God. It's putting ideas in a head. Oh my God.
For sure. Cause I think James was probably, he was nervous bringing Allie into the group too, because what they started their relationship off camera and they were dating for like 4 months off camera where she wasn't really around that world. So I think that there was definitely some anxiety the first couple weeks of filming, which is what's playing out. And I don't think that there's going to, I mean, you'll see what happens on the season. Oh my God.
Do we see you pop up in a bunch of different fights?
No.
Like I would love to have a mega edit of you just like popping out. Yeah.
Listen, I know that would have been hilarious, but no, I will. That was my one cameo on the season. I was not around for the rest of filming.
You hear that it goes nuts.
I was getting the play-by-play the whole season from my girl Allie. So it's crazy as like a reality TV podcaster, TikTok, or whatever, like my mouth is shut, like, you know, for the most part. Obviously I'm spilling a little bit of tea here, but yeah. My mouth was shut the whole year last year while I was kind of talking with her throughout the season and getting all the updates. And
well, they're still together. I mean, just spoiler alert, Allie and DJ James Kennedy are still together, so whatever happened this season did not break them apart yet. So it'll be interesting to see Allie's first reunion. That's what's gonna be crazy.
She'll be there. They filmed that soon.
As her friend, do you give her advice on these things? I'm like, this is what you got to do. Absolutely. This is who you got to take on.
Well, not that. For honestly, Allie doesn't want drama and I don't want drama either. So there's no advice in like how to play the game because you're not going to see Allie get involved in a lot of drama this season with the girls. It's just not really. She actually ended up being in the middle because some girls get closer than other girls, you know, how like Lala and Katie are close and Christina and then Sheena, Raquel and Ariana are close. So Allie was kind of the girl who was going to be friends with everyone. And I think you'll see that later in the season where Allie is actually the person that some of the girls might be venting to about each other. And then she almost gets put in the middle without actually wanting to be there.
That's right. I mean, it's just got to be a shock for a relatively normal person. I mean, listen, Allie lives in Los Angeles. So anybody that lives in Los Angeles, we're not normal to begin with. But still, there's a difference when you're on a reality television, when you're not. Final question about Vanderpump and DJ James Kennedy before we move on is that you said, you know, you've seen the dark side of DJ James Kennedy as well. Has he ever exploded on you? Has he ever said it? Has he ever said anything? And what has he said to you? Because by the way, one of the funniest dudes I know he's villain territory, but also the way he says things, it's funny, like the pumpkin pie thing about Sheena. The guy has like a really interesting sense of humor. Has he ever said anything about you when he's mad?
Yes. He's exploded on me a couple times, but not for a long time. And I do want to clear this up before we change the subject, that James truly has grown so much. Like the person that he was at the beginning of filming and last year, like he is not like that anymore at all. Like he's truly like turned a new leaf. Like I swear to God, I've watched the show before. I've seen him grown so much. I've seen his relationship with Allie. Like he's not that crazy anymore. And he really is a good girlfriend, a good boyfriend to Allie. So I think that people will get to know him in a different way throughout the season and see where he's up to now. He has exploded on me a couple times, but we're all good now. We have.
Come on, he didn't say anything like, oh, you TikToker. Oh, you Zachary reality. Because he says such funny things when he like lashes out that I didn't know if he ever said something that was like, oh, that's going to stick. That I'm not going to forget that. you're like,
honestly, it's been such a long time ago, like since I've had a disagreement with him. So we've totally like moved on and just like, or whatever. And like me and him aren't like best friends. Like Allie's one of my best friends. Yeah. We're cool. Yeah. We definitely like, you know, see each other and hang out and
That's the only thing I worry about. I was talking to Sheena this week and I was like, it's, you know, cause everybody wants to say this is like fake and stuff, but this is truly like the reality of their lives. And I always worry once the show starts, it starts then taking on a whole nother life than actual filming. So like DJ James Kennedy could be in a great place right now, but I always worry about how fragile these people potentially are, is that all of the conversation, all of the discourse could then get you back to a dark place. Cause like we already see it with Sheena and Katie. They're like going at each other. We'll be back to Zachary in just 1 second. But I wanted to talk about our sponsor this week. This week, So Bad It's Good is sponsored by our friends over at BetterHelp. Let's see. They want you to talk about a time that I learned something new about myself and what that experience was for me and how that changed my life. And in regards to therapy, it is interesting. It's been my experiences with therapy is learning that I can have confidence in myself. If you listen to this podcast, you know I struggle with that. And it's one of those things that it was so ingrained into me at a young age. I don't necessarily know why, but it's that thing of spending the last decade trying to erase all of those feelings or understand them. And in therapy, it was really interesting to learn that, you know, these little things that you can do that kind of start chipping away at the lies that you potentially tell yourself when you're younger. And through that process, you can slowly build confidence. The frustrating part that is it takes a long time. It feels like a glacial pace, but it's one of those things that I constantly have to work on. And I learned that in therapy. Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially because we're always growing and changing, right? The last 4 years for all of us have been such a growth experience because we were at a standstill for a couple years. And it was a real time where, you know, we should have been taking a hard, long look at ourselves, but everything was so wild in the world that maybe we didn't, you know, and it was like this weird stunting of our growths in some ways. So now coming out or trying to come out on the other side of this, you know, we continue the journey and trying to figure out who we are as people. Now, therapy is all about deepening your self-awareness and your understanding of yourself, because sometimes we don't know what we want or why we react the way we do until we talk through things. So BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. This is something that has benefited me multiple occasions in my life. After I was separated, after I got divorced, it has helped me at different times in my life where I needed something. Like, you know how many, I've got self-confidence workbooks that I've been recommended from therapists where I actually had to do homework about building self-confidence. I know that might sound funny to some of you guys, but it actually really did help. It really helped go, this is a problem I'm working on. What are the steps to actually try to work on this problem? And are we seeing any improvement? And you can only notice that after a longer period of time. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just got to fill out the brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. So discover your potential with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/sobad today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/sobad. I'm going to put all of this information in the show notes as well. And listen, Tom and Tom, the Toms, Tom, if you're listening to this, I please use my product code. Please just go see somebody. It'll be on me. But I think now is the time to journey into self-discovery about why you guys act the way you do. I was just talking to my friend who's getting married in October, and there is so much to plan. You gotta do the food, you gotta do the food tasting, you gotta book the venue, talk about the DJ, and then not to mention all of the emotion that goes into this. And then all the while you're like, ooh, what would I do if I had a wedding? I've been a part of a lot of weddings over the years, and it's an incredibly stressful process. You go from this newly engaged bliss to overwhelmed by invitation paper and flower colors in the blink of an eye. So using Zola helps with wedding planning from start to finish, and it makes every decision easier so you can stay in your bliss. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste that delicious cake. Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Zola helps couples plan the wedding they really want with tons of unique features and personalized recommendations based on a couple's preferences. Every Zola wedding is as unique as the couple planning it. They've thought of everything you'll need and have built every tool to get you to I do, including customized checklists to get you moving, keep you on track, and prepare you for what's next. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Mint.com. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
And I'm like, oh no. Like, I always worry, like, in the off season, because this shit continues for them. You see it.
Yeah, but I kind of think that James and Allie are a little bit detached from that. I don't really, I mean,
they're not in the main group. Yeah. They're not hanging with Sheena. Well, and
yeah, but they're also like just not into that drama. Like, I don't, yeah. I think you'll see that as the season goes on. Like, they're just not, I mean, I don't know. James, yeah. You'll probably see a lot of sides of James, but in real life, they're just not really into all that drama and stuff. So I don't see them doing any of that social media wars. That's not who either of them are.
Yeah. Okay. Now really on to you, because this is what I find fascinating besides the shows, is I find people's personal journeys really fascinating and inspiring. Now, you started on TikTok, but can you take us through, like, you know, why did you start any of this? How did you start this? I mean, obviously everybody starts from a zero level to build up your TikTok to what it is now. And that's given you all of these other opportunities. Take us through this. Like, what, and you said you were fans of these shows in college. Like, were you fans of these shows as a kid? Like, what got you started in your love for pop culture and reality television?
Well, I've been watching reality TV since I was six. I started with Survivor.
Yes.
Survivor. Yeah, yeah. So good.
Are you watching this season?
No, I had to give up on it. It got really repetitive.
Yeah.
The Traitors is good. That's a good
yes, yes, yes. Did you watch the reunion?
Of course.
Yeah.
And the reunion, like,
yeah, you did. But by the way, Ari also on it. Like, you get great guests. Guys, this dude gets amazing guests. So once again, Zachary Reality, the podcast, you'll find all that show information in the show notes. So Survivor was your entrance point as a kid. And then where did you go from there? What was America's, the dream as a kid?
America's Next Top Model, Jersey Shore, Bachelor. I've been watching all of those. But growing up, I was into acting. I'm a theater kid. I grew up singing and acting, and I was in 30 plays. I was Prince Charming.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, yeah.
I was in, like, I don't know, Seussical, Red Riding Hood. I was Jack and Jack and the Beanstalk. Like, I was the star of, like, all the plays. So
were you in Into the Woods? Were you?
Yeah, I was in Into the Woods. Yeah. And, you know, I just loved acting. And in high school, that kind of turned more into improv. And in college, it turned into broadcast journalism, which was what my major was. And I studied broadcast journalism, and I realized how much I loved journalism, because it's a form of acting, but I could be myself because I'm such a big personality as well. So it really just kind of fit. And as I started to graduate, I realized that I can, you know, take my love for reality TV and my now love and degree in journalism and combine the two. So that's why it made sense for me to move to Los Angeles. I'm from New York. I went to college in New Jersey. So I moved here at 22, right after college. I knew two people. I didn't have a job. I literally started off as an Uber driver because I didn't want to work anywhere else. It was really hard to find a job. I was doing temp jobs. I was a personal assistant at different, like, entertainment companies,
yeah,
just like all that kind of stuff. And then when the pandemic hit, I got offered a full-time job as a luxury travel host, like a receptionist. And then I couldn't, and then I didn't get to start the job because the pandemic hit.
Pandemic,
so then
yeah.
I filed for unemployment, and then TikTok started. And I realized that if I want to be a host, I can put my resume on TikTok and try and get exposure. So that can help my hosting career. So that's kind of how it all transpired. And I think everything kind of happened naturally after that. And I'm so blessed.
Yeah, I mean, like, but it is, we all, you know, I taught at an acting school out here for a long time and worked there and took classes there. And that was the big thing is, like, she always said, create your own content, create your own. This was before, this was like 12 years ago, create your own content, you know, put it. We live in a day and age where you have the power of everything in your phone. You have the power to get yourself out there. So if you're not getting opportunities, you can start making opportunities for yourself. Now, it takes a long, like, it's a long slog. Like, right at the bat, you're not getting a million views or anything like that. But like you said, you went into it of like, I can put myself out there. And you know, but that still is really hard to do. Like, I mean, I know this sounds funny if for people that don't do it, but like, did you ever want to give up in that process, or were you like, oh, this isn't working, or were you always extremely confident?
I definitely have had doubts before. I think a lot of content creators have doubts when the numbers are low because, you know, we post every single day. So not every video is going to get 500,000 views. So that's something I, you know, tell my host friends who are in the same boat. I'm like, do not let this video define your success just because you're having an off day. So I definitely have doubted myself at times, but I think with me, it's always been a slow burn because I've really grown so naturally and slowly over time. I've never had like a peak. There was never a valley. Like it's always just been like a really slow burn. Yeah. So there's just been success every single week, every month. I see new success and new opportunities. So I've always had confidence in myself. I know that I am doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing and that I'm a natural. And I think that I figured out what I want to do and not all areas of my life are perfect. You know, I'm single, I've had some family problems, but like, as far as like career and what I'm doing for work, like it's truly just been a fit and you know it when you feel it.
Yeah, no, definitely. And what, I mean, so then why start the podcast? Like you have this natural thing going on TikTok. You're starting to be able to get opportunities to interview these people, make videos with them. Why then dip into podcasting?
Well, for me, podcasting is just interviews. So it's only my interviews. I'm not podcasting my opinions. My opinions go on TikTok, short form content. I realized that you have to use your network. Like all these reality stars follow me on my TikTok. They reach out to me for advice. I talk to so many of them on the phone. So it was just like,
can you give us an example of like what advice you give to a reality star? I don't know if you can say for any names, but like what would somebody reach out to you to ask you about?
So it's a lot of Bachelor Nation, a lot of Netflix. But they'll ask me how to handle the social media of it all. They'll ask me how to handle the backlash because they'll get on the show and the Bachelor Nation is so aggressive. And I have a really big voice in Bachelor Nation, you know, especially on TikTok. So I'm able to kind of help them and help facilitate their stories because they can't speak about things that are on TV because of a contract and they can't talk about things that are edited out, but they can tell me and then I can say it on my TikTok
that I can say
in a way that you don't know where I'm getting my info from.
Well, have you ever pissed off the behind the scenes at Bachelor of like, yo, dude, shut your mouth. This is like you're ruining certain things. Do you ever have like kind of terse things from anybody in production side of any of these shows?
Well, I've only talked to a couple producers who have been very friendly and nice to me. And then I've seen a few of them at Bachelor Live on stage.
Mike Fleiss tries to tackle you or something.
Mike Fleiss? No, he retweets my tweets. So I think he likes me. But I have heard from a few of my friends who are contestants on The Bachelor or were leads of the show that some of the producers are not, they just don't want my account to grow. They're just not, because I don't know. It's taken over. I've kind of have an.
That's
narrative.
A great place to be, though. When they kind of, I always think like one of the strongest advantages you can have doing what we do is for somebody to underestimate you or wish you poorly, because that usually it's like it always, you know, it's always like, okay, well, that usually means that person's going to work harder or like really. Mm-hmm. That means something's going well for you. If people wish you not harm, but wish you're you know, like not to grow.
Yes. So that has happened a little bit in Bachelor World, 100%. With Netflix, we've actually been able to build a relationship. So that's how I'm able to get some interviews. But that took a lot of time because I...
But did they tell you, you have to have these opinions on it, Zach? You can't go on a certain way?
I think I learned for myself. And I think becoming friends with all the reality stars, I realized that I'm not spilling tea. Like I'm not. I'm talking about what happens on the shows. I'm giving them the insight, but I'm not spilling the full story. Like I don't say half the shit I know. And I think I started my platform giving spoilers and maybe exposing some of the shows. But now that I've grown a platform and I'm fully aware of that, I'm so conscious of everything I say and everything I put out there that I know how to give my followers what they want and how to also respect the networks and the reality stars. So now I feel like I'm in a really good place where I can play both sides and I do it well.
I do find it like it is a full-time gig. Like even like what I do, it's a full-time gig, but you even take it to another extreme where, I mean, I was surfing around on TikTok last night and like you're live with somebody and you're like, I'm like, dude, how much time are like, you have to go live. You have to do all of these things. What is a daily schedule for you at this point? And yeah, like well, how, like, cause Seinfeld says you gotta mm-hmm. write every day, even if you're not feeling it, you gotta do it. Like, do you have that same ethic of like, gotta produce every day?
Yes. Every single day producing content. On the weekends, I party on the weekends. I go away. Like I definitely,
you're always out at events and stuff like that. Yeah.
I go to a lot of events, which is really cool. So I have hosting jobs. I have freelance hosting jobs. I do panels. I work carpets. I go into studios. It kind of depends on the week and what's going on. But other than that, like, I'm on campaigns for, I work for Fox. So I'm on a lot of the Fox show campaigns. So that's
yeah,
really great.
Yeah, as a Masked Singer. I saw you
Masked
do that.
Singer,
yeah.
Special Forces. I'm going to be on the campaign for Farmer Wants a Wife. I have a video due on Monday. So,
by the way, there's a new show called Farmer Wants a Wife, you guys, where this title tells it all. The Farmer Wants a Wife, and it's another competition dating show, correct?
Yeah, correct. And it's like four farmers, and they get all the girls who are from the city and put them on the farm. It's actually really hilarious. I saw the first couple episodes. It comes out March 8th. So that's really soon.
Okay.
So I'm on, I do like influencer stuff. Like, I'm on campaigns. I'm working with, you know, brands and TikTok, YouTube, podcast. You know what? I kind of describe it as like, and I'm sure you can understand, like, when you have so many jobs, it's like you focus on that job for 1 hour that day, and then you move on to the next, which could take you 2 hours and then 3 hours. And like,
yeah,
the TikToks or short form content, it's like that takes me 10 minutes to make a TikTok. So I can make five a day and have plenty of room to do everything else. So I just find a way to do as much as I can and do what works for me. And I mean, I want to be rich, Ryan.
Like, I love that. I mean, I just want to keep doing this. Like, this is like, the money is like great and stuff like that, and it's fascinating that I can actually make a living doing this. It's like the same thing during the pandemic, but just I love doing that. I love talking to new people. I love finding out somebody's stories. Like, I'll take 30 things that you said today and it'll inspire me to like go look at things a little bit differently. But I do think you'll be rich one day. It'd be, who knows? It's probably already happened. In terms of Bachelor Nation, I always kind of tell, like, I always get worried that, you know, we get introduced to, like, it feels like 40 new cast members each year from Bachelor Nation, and then they all want to be influencers, and there's only so much tummy tea that can be sold in America and overseas. So, like, we have to take care of these people for the rest of our lives. In your opinion, what makes a reality star in these days? What do we need for a reality star? And who would you say, in terms of Netflix and Bachelor Nation, who are stars now? Are we still creating stars from these shows?
Ooh, good question. I think what makes a star is a unique, authentic personality. Someone who is just so authentically themselves and has a really big personality. I think a star from Netflix recently is Chloe. I forgot her last name, but she is a huge personality. She's a star. I think Francesca is a star. I think
Francesca Fargo, yeah.
And Shane are villains, but they're also stars. They have huge personalities. And, you know, everyone's like, what are they going to say next? So I think there's so many stars. I think from The Bachelor, I mean, Nick Vile has obviously been one of the bigger names. Hannah Brown, Rachel Lindsay, Caitlin Bristow. Also, in as far as Bachelor, trust me, we don't care that much about everyone who gets, we don't care all about those 30 contestants. And I think, and this year, it's like this year, we're all sick of it, but we're still doing it.
Yeah, no, it seems like it's going to be a slog this season, and I'm curious where they go from here. And, you know, also, this is now a feeder system into Bachelor in Paradise and the Bachelor universe. But Netflix, I feel like, found this really kind of amazing pocket since the pandemic, because the pandemic was like the tail end of Love is Blind was right when the pandemic was starting. And I think Netflix really cultivated this really interesting reality television format. Can you explain to the listeners what Perfect Match is, what the conceit behind that show is?
Yeah, so they brought together a bunch of Netflix stars from all different shows like Love is Blind, The Ultimatum, The Mole, Too Hot to Handle, and they put them on a beach in Panama. It was like a spring break type of beach. And it's basically like you have to couple up. So someone goes home the first night if you don't find a couple. And then whoever wins the challenge, then there's a challenge the next day. So then the winning couple who wins the challenge, the compatibility challenge, then they get to choose which new people come into the house, and they set them up on a date. So some of them set them up on a date with a couple to break them up, someone they might not like, or they'll set them up to try and help somebody else find a match if they don't like their match. And then now there's a couple extra people in the house. So then the girls have the power, then the guys have the power, and new people come home. But then it's cool because you actually get an opportunity to come back into the house.
Ah, so you can, okay. Yeah, you can fight your way back in. Mm-hmm. And I like that, but I just think it's so brilliant for them to, you know, use the other people from their other shows and put them in another show. Like, I think that's what, like, these things really thrive on now is universe building, is creating these people. Like, you know, you said Shake and all, you know, the when you, you know, Bartiz, when you keep using these people, it kind of just cements them more in your head. In your opinion, do you recommend people be villains or just be their natural self? Like I think one of the, you were saying, like, these days you could be a villain and that really stands out in people's heads because there's just something, you know, do you, it's that tricky thing of like, do you go for that? Like, do you try to be as brash and lippy and all of that stuff as possible because you know that works? Or do you think it's very natural for people like Bartiz and Shake and stuff like that? That's just who they are as people.
It's definitely natural for them, but obviously the show, love them, but the show will obviously make them into a bigger villain because there's editing, there's produce, like there's editing. Editing does so much. We have to remember that. And the producers that kind of set things up. But I always say, just be yourself. And I think that a lot of people are naturally, you know, have an attitude or are off, like, you know, have opinions, and that could make them a villain on TV. It doesn't mean they're a villain in real life. So I always think that people should just be themselves. And also it's like, it depends what you want out of the experience. Do you want love? Do you want fame? Do you want to just like entertain people and make your mark? You know, there's everyone.
If people are really going on these shows to find love, I would almost think that's crazier than the fame part. Like, if you really are going on here to find your true love, I think that's such a bizarre way to really in your mind do that. Like that, I would almost be more assured if you said, "Oh, I'm here because I want to be on TV." Like, to me, that's the truth. If you're there to find love, I would worry about you.
Well, I also I'm a hopeless romantic, which is why I love The Bachelor. So I think that people are optimistic.
Wait, would you go? Wait, okay. They do. Would you go on The Bachelor?
Well, I can't go on The Bachelor because I don't trust ABC. I don't trust the producers of The Bachelor, so I can't. But I would go on a dating show a gay dating show. I would be open to that if the opportunity presented itself. It's not necessarily something I'm looking for. I'm looking to host a show. That's my goal. That's my you know, dreams, my vision is.
Yeah.
So, but if opportunities come to me, I definitely consider everything.
What do you think of Real Boyfriends of WeHo?
The Real Friends of WeHo.
Sorry, Real Friends of WeHo. Sorry, what do you think of that show? Because I know you did a podcast on that as well, I believe.
Yeah. I did one with Joey because I'm friends with Joey. I love him. I think it's great that they brought together a bunch of gays.
I love you. You're very diplomatic. I think it's great that they brought together. Yeah.
No, I only watched a few episodes of it, to be honest. So I can't give like my full opinion, but I actually do really like it. I think it is kind of like Housewives-esque, but the gay version. I almost think it would have done better on Bravo.
I wonder kind of why they were able to use the Real title when that's a very Bravo thing of like the Real blank of blank. To me, that's a Bravo unique title that I was shocked that it was on MTV, to be honest.
Well, don't you think there's a lot of like The Real?
Well, every time I see anything like that, I say that's Bravo. The Real, like that started.
What about
with
the Real
Housewives?
The top.
Well,
chef.
The Real. That's. I mean, but you know, I mean, I think Garcelle was on that, so that's fine. But Real, but like The Real, like that started with Real Housewives of Orange County for me. So when anybody does that, that shocks me. And Brad Goreski is such a huge Bravo fan that it kind of shocked me that it was on MTV. Why does everybody dislike this Todrick Hall? I'm not like, it just is wild to read online hatred about this dude. And I never watched last season of Big Brother he was on.
That's fine.
He was just maniacal on that show.
Yes. I actually didn't even watch it, but I knew I kept up. So even some of the shows I don't watch, I'll keep up just so I can
like
know
what's going
on.
Yeah, like you see the discourse, you see it's like you're not ignorant. In terms of like growth though, do you see that there's ever a time where you'll move past reality into like, because I think when you want to be a host, when you want to be around pop culture in general, you're not just relegated to reality television. This is such a great entrance point, but can you see it even going farther than this? Movie stars, musicians, you know, TV stars.
Yes. You know, I've covered a few carpets where I had to interview actors. And honestly, like, Ryan, it just wasn't for me. I was like, I'm not into this. Like, I can do some research before, but it's just like, I'm not into this. So I think.
What was it, you think?
It's, what do you mean?
Like, why do you think it wasn't for you? What was the vibe?
Because I love reality TV. Like, I have to like talk about things that I'm passionate about and what I like to watch. Yeah. And I'm not into a lot of pop culture that is Marvel movies and like action.
Yeah.
And like, that's just not me. So I think that reality TV is definitely the focus. I think I could grow my podcast to a talk show of some sorts, on whether it's on TV or just on YouTube with like a studio, and have people, you know, helping me to make it really big and better and make my own game show and stuff like that. And I also think I could grow as a host and host a reality show, just like you see Nick Lachey doing, or Jeff Probst. And then I think I could also, when I get into my 30s, I can produce the shows. I can
executive.
That's
what I was just saying. I was just saying, you've got, I know you, you've got to have at least 10 ideas in your pocket for reality shows right now. I bet.
Yes.
I bet you do, you know?
Of course. So I am working with Fox. I've been with them for about 6 months. So I think that they believe in me. And I think that maybe we can create some shows together in the future.
You're about to tell me your idea was the farmer one, right?
No, it wasn't. I think there's a lot of different paths for me. I think executive producing and producing or just hosting shows is what you'll see in the future in some regards. And I think I'm going to stick with it. And I think I'll probably retire by the time I'm 45.
Screw you, Zachary.
I'm kidding.
Okay, in terms of reality television, as we start winding down here, what do we have to look forward to, not only as an audience, but what are you looking forward to? We got Netflix, we got Bravo, we got ABC, we've got all of these things. We got Fox that you're covering. We know Farmer Wants a Wife is coming up, but what else are you excited to get your eyes on?
Well, Love is Blind season 4 is coming out.
When's it coming out? When is it coming out?
Soon, like a month.
Back.
I'm really into Housewives. Like, I live for Jersey Housewives. So I.
What do you think of the newbies? Did you watch this week?
Of course.
Was
of
it? Course. I love the newbies. Do you like the newbies?
I like Rachel. I like Rachel in a way, but I also think she's like doing way too much at the same time. If that makes sense. Danielle is the most authentic, and I don't know about Jen Fessler.
But I love Jen Fessler going up against Jen Aiden. I mean, I thought I
no,
love...
it's too easy. Everyone thinks that Jen Aiden is an easy target. They're all jumping on her. They all gang up on her. It's like enough already. They all like to just poke the bear of Jen Aiden.
Because Jen Aiden is a hothead. And like, I sometimes think she, I don't know. I'm off the Jen Aiden train. Like, I feel like, I feel like she's too up Teresa's ass. I feel like she's, I sometimes am like, dude, you're just angry at your husband. Stop taking it out on other people. It's not Dolores's fault. You're angry at your husband still. Please stop. But I love that some of those women, I feel like, showed up to film. Like, they showed up to actually, like, usually it takes me a while to start liking new people. And I've already, I'm like, okay, we're 4 episodes in. And I'm like starting to like,
there's go. Just a lot fact, of them.
But I'm starting season. To like, but I think because it, to me, it's okay because it takes away of like, I'm so tired of the Teresa Joey stuff. Like,
oh, I live for it.
Oh my God. And season after season.
No, but this is different. This is different.
How do you think it's different? Why do you think it's different?
They have not hit this dark place in years. This is the worst it's ever been.
See, and for me, it's like, it just feels
Gabriella,
like
Emmett. When you have Gabriella coming in, that's when you know it's hit a new low. I'm just saying. She has not said one word.
Teresa was like, I know it gives you stomach ache, but come on in here and talk about your uncle and aunt. I thought that was why, because you know she hates doing it and she has to relate the story that they
wanted
were never
to
there.
Do it. I think Gabriella wanted to do it because she heard what Joe and Melissa said about the kids on the podcast. And I think that it affected that them and they wanted to speak up. I'm team Teresa.
See, that was the part I will say, like, because I liked all of them. I'm one of those people that don't have a side in this, but I will say, I said this to the audience, that was the one part where I was like, you can't argue this. If they really weren't there besides filming for those kids, that was the part where I'm like, that I don't understand. That part I couldn't, that was hard to get behind because, listen, I don't agree with her putting the kids on TV to say that, but at the same time, they said it and I don't think they would lie. And that part really kind of like, that just made me feel icky.
Honestly, I think the kids are adults. Gia is an adult. And I think if they grew up on the show and their life is being talked about, then I think the kids are more than welcome to come on the show because they literally have been on it their entire life. So I think
they've known nothing different. They've known
they
nothing
don't know
different.
Different. So they should be on the show. I actually like seeing them.
Would you like to see, somebody was talking about this yesterday. Would you like to see an all like a Giudice girl show?
Yeah, but I think they're still too young. They're too young. They have to be at least 21. Like, I would see Gia. Can Gia do a spinoff show? You know that at BravoCon, there was only one person I waited in line for, and that was Teresa and Gia. Everyone else.
Teresa and Gia did one together?
Yes. I was there for like an hour. I was living my best life.
God, the Teresa fandom is wild. It is like Taylor Swift level of passion, but it is also such a dark fandom because people will cut you. Like, people will, I mean, the fervor.
That. I like Melissa too.
Love is Blind. So that's coming up. What else are you looking forward to? We're winding down.
Good question.
When does The Bachelor end? When do we got this wrapping up?
I mean,
feels like forever.
Yeah, it does. We have like another month of The Bachelor. The Women Tell All was just filmed last Friday. So that will come out in a few weeks. No, they would never let me come, ever. Unless there's like a conversation. Yeah, but they don't
put you in a little beard. We put you in a beard and a disguise. That'd be great.
No, no. People have tried to, like, other people who get invited have tried to ring me as a plus one, and then they don't answer the email. So, but it's not like that with me. I have to clarify. They don't like any Bachelor creators. They don't, they do not welcome any of the creators. They don't like podcasters. They don't like people who talk about their show.
Unless so, you like. Did you ever read the Amy Kinnaman book about The Bachelor?
No, which one?
What was it? For Love. She's the LA Times reporter. She released this book about the Bachelor franchise about 5 or 6 years ago. It's excellent, actually. She was the one that actually broke the Randall Emmett story for the LA Times just last year. But you, Amy Kinnaman, you should check it out. It's really, really good. And it takes you from the beginning. Mike Fleiss does interviews for it. I found it such a great book. But that's hysterical. So Bachelor wrapping up potentially in a month and a half. What else do we have coming up? You said Fox. We just did Special Forces. You got The Farmer. Netflix, Love is Blind.
I'll say there's a couple shows coming that are going to blow you away that I contractually can't say.
Oh, God. But it'll blow us away? I need to know what those things are. What are you most excited to watch every week? Even having to do content for it. Like, what do you find yourself naturally looking forward to? Not Bravo, that you're like, oh, I can't wait to watch this, even though I have to work.
Well, I think that's the answer. I love Jersey Housewives. I'm really liking Vanderpump Rules just to see Allie on it every week. Doesn't she look so hot in her confessional with the blue dress?
Yeah, no, I mean, like she, by the way, she's handling herself very, very well. Like, there's nothing. And I will say this for her is that, she seems like a put together girl. So much so that I sometimes find myself wondering, since I don't know DJ Nibism's kid in real life, what the hell she's doing. Cause sometimes really if you cool. watch, but if you watch the show, if we go just by the show, you would worry sometimes for Allie. That's nothing. But, and by the way, I love Top Man. I think it's a bop. It's one of my favorite songs of all time, unironically, by DJ James Kennedy. But I don't know him in real life. I've had a couple run-ins and they've been fine, but nothing deep. I just, she's handled herself very well, where I don't think people can immediately make that joke of like, oh, she's just an airhead. Oh, she's just this. You can't really, from what we've seen, you can't make that joke, you know? Like Raquel, it was easier to make that joke because she was quiet. She had a little bit of a shakier voice. And so when we initially met Raquel on this show, you could kind of poke fun at certain things, which reality show audiences seem to do. You can't really do that with Allie so far.
Yeah. And I'll leave one more thing about Allie. She's smart. She got a contract and she got a paycheck on her first season. And she made sure of that. So yeah, she's great. So I can't wait to see her. And I'm loving Bachelor, and I mean, it's still good. And Special Forces, the finale was just this week. The Masked Singer is really good.
I mean, there's,
I mean, what else? Perfect Match just ended. So,
well, it never stops. It never ends. Like a constant pipeline. In fact, sometimes I wish that all of these entertainment companies would get together and just take a month off during the summer so we could have a month off during the summer, which would be really nice.
Right. But we can also like take time off. And I think it's hard when you're in the space. You're like, it never stops, even on the weekends sometimes. But I think it's really important to like disconnect and like take a week off sometimes and just be like, I'll be back. Like even like there was like one podcast that was like everyone was talking about. It was like Raven from Love is Blind.
Oh, on Nick. Yeah.
On Nick's podcast. Yeah. And I put out a video. I was like, guys, I'm so sorry, but I need to sit this one out. It was 2.5 hours. I was too busy. And then you know what? When I put that out there, one of my followers made a video and was like, I'm gonna help out Zachary Reality. Here's everything you need to know. And then I duetted her, and then it was great.
Perfect. No, that's actually brilliant. Zachary Reality, the podcast, who do you have coming up? Like I said, you already have a bunch of great episodes. We always ask people that listen to this show to go over, to subscribe, to also rate it 5 stars. The fact that he came on, you know, out of the kindness of his heart, and, you know,
well, but I love
go support. Go support 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. I know that might sound silly, but it's a free, easy thing to do that really does help in terms of placement on both of those platforms. What else can you tease in terms of the podcast interview-wise coming up?
We got Rachel Lindsay coming on.
Nice.
I'll be recording with her tomorrow in person. So I'm so excited about it. She has a new book coming out, so we'll be talking about that. And I also have Piper coming on from Bachelor Nation. She had a very big scandal on Bachelor in Paradise. And we have a couple more interviews from Perfect Match. The finale was literally just this week. So there's going to be a few more of those coming up in the next week. And I do plan on getting Allie and James back on maybe towards, you, I don't know when.
You got to do it towards the end or in the middle or something like that would be really good.
Maybe in the middle, and then we can also do one like after the reunion's aired to kind of close it out and everything. So definitely look forward to that.
And then is DJ James Kennedy a good lover? Yes or no?
Oh, yeah.
What have you heard?
I'm dead.
Okay. Zachary Reality, you know it from TikTok. I'm going to put all that information, but now he is taking over the podcasting space. Go support. He's doing his dream. You got to support people that are doing what they love. These are the people that we have to get behind. And, you know, this is great. It's like, because we will be able to see him continue to grow and grow before he retires at the young age of 45 years old. We've got it on audio right here. But thank you for spending time. Please come back anytime that you want. And it was just so great to finally get to do this with you, man.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much for having me. I'm a huge fan of you. I think you're so awesome and humble and so cool. And I think everyone that listens to your podcast probably already knows that. But as someone who knows you in real life, I will say that too. You're such a great guy.
Oh, thanks, dude. Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Betches.